So we're gonna take a little bit of a different angle this time. You tell me when how long we should go. People, I have a lot to say. So
we have a lot to hear.
All right, good. So we're gonna learn a very very fascinating Rambam now. The Rambam says as follows. The Rambam says at the end of Hilchos Megillah. Okay, I gave out some of the Rambams. He writes the following. Very, very surprising statement. He says, Kol Sifrei HaNeviim, V'chol HaKsuvim, everything in the Nach, Asidin Libotel, Limoisa Mashiach. Once Mashiach comes, they will become Batel. Null and void. Chutz Mimegilas Esther, except for Megillas Esther. V'arei Kayemes, it is going to be kayam ki chamisha chumshei Torah, like the Torah itself. V'kahalachos shel Torah shebal peh she'einon betelim le'olam. The chumash does not become batel ever, but the nach will become batel. Now what does that mean, batel? Because the Gemara says, the Chasam Sofer explains, why is it become batel? Because the Gemara says that there is no such thing as something which is in the nach, which is lo remiza be'araisa, that there's no remiz for it in the Torah, in the chumash itself. So, the only thing is, we can't see it in the Chumash, because we don't have enough understanding to see it, so we have to be told by the Nevi'im where to see it in the Chumash. But once it becomes Mashiach, we're going to see everything in the Chumash itself. So if we're not going to need the Nevi'im to tell me anything like that. However, there is one area that is a Chidush. There's something brand new. It doesn't say it in the Chumash, and that's the Limud of Megillat Esther. Whatever it says in this Megillah, that we're gonna need that even when Mashiach comes.
When Mashiach comes, everything else is no longer gonna be
all the other lessons of the Nevi'im will be so obvious that we're not gonna need a separate book of Nevi'im for it. According to the Rambam,
Nevi'im becomes outdated.
Right now, it according to others, it means that it won't have the same level of kedusha. It will be like Mishnayot.
So what? We're not gonna read anymore the Agadah of Pesach.
Haggadah Pesach, right? Well, look, it says the Afapi shekol zichron atzarot ibatelu shenemar kinishkechu atzarot arishonot v'chinisteru meinai. According to the simple reading of the Rambam, we'll see what it means. But he's saying that the holidays of Pesach, the holidays that are supposed to remind us of Zecher Yitziat Mitzrayim, are going to become null and void. Why? Because why in the world? He says, Mashal. The Gemara says, Mashal lema davar dome. What's the mashal? That someone had he was attacked by a dog, and all of a sudden he was saved from the dog. He's holechu masaper. He goes and says the story of the dog. But then a bear attacked him, and he was saved by the bear. It's a much bigger miracle. He's going to talk about the bear. Then a lion attacks him, and he's saved. Well, he's going to think about the little bear and the little dog story. He forgot about that. He's thinking about the lion story. So by the time Mashiach comes, all the nisim that happen in the context of Yitzias Mitzrayim are going to become batal, because we're going to remember what we're going to talk about more. We're going to talk about Mashiach.
It's going to be small potatoes compared to Yemen.
Correct. Yes. Nothing. To the point that it's going to become irrelevant. You're not going to talk about it anymore. Now the question is that the Rambam himself says that all the mitzvos that we have will be around even when Mashiach comes. So there's a sefer called the Manos HaLevi. The Manos HaLevi was written by Shlomo Alkabez. Anyone knows Shlomo Alkabez, what he's famous for? He composed the Lechadodi. Lechadodi that we say every Friday night. So he writes, so what the Rambam means, that it's going to be batel la'atid lavo, means, it doesn't mean we're not going to do it, but it means it's going to be insignificant. Similar to the concept of batel barov, or batel b'shishim. It becomes insignificant. Why? So he says very simple. He says that in the days that Mashiach come, when Mashiach comes, we're going to be living in such a level of clarity that we see Hashem in our everyday life so clearly. It's like that God is right there, and every move you make, Hashem is there, and everything that's going on, constantly you're seeing and experiencing the Hashgacha Pratis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how Hashem is watching over everything that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. So now, Oh, by the way, you're still going to celebrate Pesach, but what's going to be what's so exciting? You're going to feel so excited. Oh, now I feel that way every day. I remember that. I see that Hashem controls the world so clearly every day. Like Hashem, Kimala Haaretz Deya Et Hashem. Everyone's going to know that. It's not just going to be us. Not just going to be us.
But that comes from the Torah. It's not coming from
the Chumash talks about the Yisrael,
etc. Right. So that's what I'm saying. We're going to keep the holidays, but it's not going to be like such a big deal, because we're going to keep it. We have to keep the mitzvot. But the whole idea that the mitzvah teaches me that Hashem can do miracles. The whole idea, Hashem can do miracles. Of course Hashem can do miracles. I see miracles every day. If you live with miracles every day, then Yitziat Mitzrayim, Pesach is when Hashem showed us He does miracles. He's doing miracles all the time. We're living in a supernatural time of Mashiach. So of course we know Hashem can do miracles. So it's going to be, we're going to keep it, but it's not going to be as exciting. But then the Rambam says, Yimei Purim lo yibatelu. But Purim is not going to become null and void at all. We're going to keep Purim with the same level of excitement when Mashiach comes as now. Because the pasuk says in the Megillah, "V'yimei Purim ha'ele lo ya'avru mitoch ha'yehudim, v'zichram lo yasuf mizaram." That the days of Purim will not become diminished at all when the Mashiach comes. So the question is, Purim of all things? I mean, all the other holidays seem to be a lot more significant than Purim. And yet the Rambam says the only holiday which is going to remain as exciting when Mashiach comes as nowadays is going to be Purim. Which seems to me like counterintuitive. Or what's so special about Purim? That's going to be the day we're looking forward to when Mashiach comes. Purim. And it's the Rambam. The Rambam says clearly. It's like it's very interesting. Why the Rambam saying this, and what's the chidush over here? So this is what we're going to talk about. What did Purim teach me different than all the other holidays? And that lesson that Purim teaches us, we have to be so clear in, because that's going to be the lesson. That lesson is going to excite us even when Mashiach comes, as opposed to everything else. Once it's going to blend into our life when Mashiach comes, but this is going to stand out. So what is it? What was the extra special chidush, so to speak? What did Purim teach us more than any other holiday? So we say the way we refer to the miracle of Purim is v'nahapochu. V'nahapochu is that Hashem flipped it around. Everything turned up on its head. The day that was supposed to be bad for us turned out to be good for us. The tree that was supposed to use to be hanging Mordechai was used to hang Haman. The very same gzeira that was used to kill Vashti is how Esther got into being the queen. And the thing which looked terrible, like Esther becoming the queen, having to marry Achashverosh, was what caused us to become Nigal, for the salvation to happen. So the whole process is called v'nahapochu. And as a matter of fact, there's a pasuk we say every day, v'hafachta mispedi l'macholi, pitachta sakiv t'azreini simcha, hafachta mispedi, the Maharsha says, is referring to Purim. So Purim is referred to v'nahapochu. It's the only time that we mention that type of process when you're referring to the geula. When you're referring to the process of a geula, we rarely refer to it as v'napochu. There was a very bad time for the Jewish people, and then v'napochu, it became good. So what's this new idea of v'napochu? So the idea is like this. When the Gemara says that nowadays, when bad things happen, a person is supposed to make a blessing. You know, if a person, lo aleinu, loses a loved one, a relative, or something bad happens, a person is supposed to make a bracha. Baruch dayana emet. That you bless Hashem, that I understand that everything's for the good. I don't really know how it's for the good. I don't understand that I don't see it. I don't get it. But I have to have faith that it's for the good. When good things happen, you say, Baruch atov ha'metiv. Wow, thank you Hashem, you gave me good. When Mashiach comes, no matter what happens, whether it's good or bad, we're going to say HaTov HaMeitiv. Because we're going to realize right away that it's good. Because once you see the process in front of you, you realize everything's really for the good. We are not there yet, so we're like in the dark a little bit. We don't get it, how what the process of bringing the world about is. But, you know, what's one thing leading to the next? But when Mashiach, when Mashiach comes, we're going to understand that really what's ever happening now is really good. Just like a person, when they have to, when if a person's sick and all of a sudden they come and tell you, look, we developed a successful way to do a surgery, and through this surgery we can you know heal you. So when the person goes under the knife, they're tremendously thankful, even though they're feeling pain, but they know this is what I mean. This is saving my life, right? So they're very thankful for that. So it's not like, oh, something's bad happening, but I believe that it's going to end up being for the good. The pain is good. Wow, this is healing me. So when Mashiach comes, everything's going to be like that. I see it's good. It's not like you have to have faith how the bad is going to turn into good eventually. But in this world, we're not in that stage yet. That's what the Gemara says. The idea is there's very few times where we experience in this world, in our lifetime, in our experiences, we can experience that type of feeling and realize, whoa, that everything's good. This is amazing. Everything's good. When that doesn't happen all the time. And when a person gets one of those moments, it's like it clicks, like, whoa, I thought that was the worst thing that happened to me. I had to switch jobs. And you know what? The fact that I had to switch jobs, that got me to a place that like I would have never been able to get before. I developed a skill that I didn't know I had, and now I'm better positioned, and now I got out of promotion, and but when I was laid off, I thought it was terrible. It's the worst thing that ever happened to me, right? And now I see, no, that's actually great, you know. So, but sometimes those moments click, and that's like a level of like, wow,
Eureka,
yeah. I really, Hashem was taking care of me the whole time, right? So the difference between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Purim and all the other holidays is Yetziat Mitzrayim, we're not fully aware of why we had to go through that process. It was very bad. It was 210 bitter years. Very difficult for the Jewish people. Yeah, we're told it was important and this and that, but bottom line is they were slaves for 210 very difficult years, right? And then there was a gula. Wow, miracles. Whew, unbelievable. Okay, so what are we experiencing? We're experiencing the hand of Hashem able to take us out and show us miracles. That's great. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable miracles. And that's our whole faith, is that Hashem does miracles for us. But Purim, by the time the story is over, nothing bad ever happened. It was bad for like a minute. It was bad for a few months. It was bad from when the Gzeirah happened. But then, as the story started unfolding, they're like, nothing bad happened in the first place. It wasn't like we were bad and Hashem made it turn into, you know, Hashem saved us. It was the opposite. This was part of the process. We're much better off now than we were before. This was all good for us. So, Rav Huttner, for example, if let's go back to the case of the surgery. So we said that, you know, if the guy needed that surgery, if the guy needed that, he couldn't have gotten healed without that surgery. And all of a sudden, someone puts him under the knife, and he gets healed. So he's tremendously thankful because, right? Not only is he saying, "Oh, putting in the knife wasn't bad for me. I'm better off than I was before the knife, right? Because now I'm healthy." The Jewish people now, not only did they realize, "Oh, it wasn't that bad, and we were scared, but Hashem saved us." But the Jewish people reached a level that they were not at that level before Purim. The story ended up being for their benefit. Kimu v'kibla Yehudim, that the Jewish people reached a new spiritual level that they were not on before this holiday of Purim. So really what they realized was, this whole process, nothing bad ever happened. We realized that the whole thing was just a tool, a process that Hashem put us through to get us to the next level. So like, we just realized that the entire time was orchestrated to get us to where Hashem wants us. That's the Na'apohu. Na'apohu is a unique type of geula. It's a unique type of experience that everything got flipped around in our lifetime, in a short period of time, where we realized the bad was not bad. Now, the bad was part of the process of making us better. And the bad itself was just there to, in order to be flipped around in a minute to make us better and reach us even a higher level than we were before. And that's part, that is the unique status, and that's the uniqueness of the holiday of Purim. So Rav Huttner gives a mashal for this. Rav Huttner says, he says, let's say you have some people and they're put in a forest. And their job is that they need to, they have to figure out, it's, you know, who else is in the forest. So he says, one guy brought with him a candle, so he could see a little bit, you know, could look around, he could see who's there and who's not. There's another guy that he trained himself to recognizing sounds and noises and voices. So it was still dark, but he could hear voices. And he was training himself to listen to the voices. Now, really, the candle is a little bit more effective. But there's one good thing about training, about the voice thing, is because the guy who didn't really train himself in anything, he just brought himself a candle. Once daylight comes and he's in the forest, he puts out the candle and, you know, he's the same old guy that he was before. The other guy has this tool now. He can hear people's voices and recognize them even during the daytime. So he's much more advanced than the other guy. So Huttner says that when we sometimes have moments that Hashem lights a candle for us. It's dark, and all of a sudden Hashem lights a candle. Look, I do miracles for you. You know, wow. But when Mashiach comes, what do you need the miracle? You need the candle? Mashiach's here. The whole thing is light. You don't need the miracle to show anything. But Purim is, even when it was dark and you didn't have the candle, but it's dark, but you learn to listen and you learn to understand that even when it's dark, Hashem is there. Hashem is there the whole time. And even when it looks like it's getting bad and it looks like it's no good and it looks like it was dangerous, all that's just setting up for your benefit. There's nothing bad that ever happened. And we don't always understand it. That's the problem. But Purim helps us understand that really it's always good. So that you need, even once the light gets turned on, when Mashiach comes, you have a new tool now. You have a tool that, you know what? You could see Hashem no matter what happens. Pesach didn't help us do that. Pesach helped us realize Hashem does miracles. But that Hashem doing miracles is going to be clear when Mashiach comes. But Purim helped us understand something else. Not that Hashem does miracles. Is that Hashem is with us even when it appears that He's not doing miracles. Even when Hashem is not actively doing a miracle for us. He's not doing something which looks, wow, He's saving us. No. But He's orchestrating a tap where every single thing that's going on is part of the process of making us better people, part of the process of perfecting us, part of the process of the Hashgacha Pratis. That we're going to have to remember even when Mashiach comes. That's a tool that we learn that you can never lose that tool. And that's what's special about the holiday of Purim. That's the whole Vena Pochu. And one of the things that we say, that we do in the holiday of Purim, is that the Gemara says that a person is supposed to reach such a level of simcha on Purim that you shouldn't be able to tell the difference between Baruch Mordechai and Arur Haman. Okay, so first of all, it's an odd mitzvah. It's an odd thing, but why should we want to reach that level? I mean, and second of all, if you want to say a person should reach that type of level of simcha, why is the example and the threshold? Oh, until the difference between Baruch, Mordechai, and Arur Haman. Why is that the threshold? Why is that significant?
And why wear masks and costumes also.
Yeah, okay, we'll see. The answer is because when a person is in their full capabilities, so you start analyzing things. And you start saying, oh, some things are good and some things are bad. Arur Haman. Haman is bad. Mordechai is good. Okay, so everything's defined in the way we view it. But sometimes you have to remember, it's not about the way we view it, because we have a very limited way of understanding and viewing things. We view things, okay, this is good for us, this is bad for us. And we have to have faith that even the bad is good, but we don't really see it. Purim is that time where we're supposed to get a better understanding and realize for once and for all that really everything's good. And there's no bad and there's no good. And part of making us better people and part of the geula, the the bad, the things which appear to be challenges, are really part of the process of getting us to the Geula as much as the good is. So therefore, you should reach a point where to you, there is no difference between Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Because they're both the same tool. They're both the same good. It's all part of Hashem's process. This didn't get you further than that. It's not that the Geula, you know, the redemption got us further and the Ar Haman put us in a bad situation. We have to get out of it. No, it wasn't getting out. It was all getting us good. It was all getting us out. What?
Drinking.
No, I'm saying, in other words,
drinking helps you realize, helps you get to that state.
Sometimes you have to put aside your analyzation of the situation. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes we're so busy analyzing our situation with our full, you know, okay, well, let's figure out what does 1 + 1 equal? It's not always about that. Sometimes you got to put that aside and say, you know what? I'm in the hands of Hashem. It's not about how I see it. It's not about how I analyze it, because we don't have the capabilities in this world. We're not in the days of Mashiach. So we don't have the capabilities in this world to really understand things in that way. Sometimes you got to put all that aside and put yourself in the hands of Hashem and say, you know what? There is no difference between Baruch Mordechai and Ar Haman. Ar Haman is as good for me. Haman is as good for my growth and as good as getting us from me, as Mordechai is.
Usually it's even more. Usually the hard times is what gets someone to move. The good things, it doesn't move the needle.
Right. Like it says, Rabbeinu Yonah says, it gives such a beautiful lashon in Rabbeinu Yonah. I'll read it. He says that those things, ki yeh hachoshech, Sibas Ha'ar, the darkness is what brings out the R. And it says, Al Tismach Ayavti Li, Ki Nafalti Kamti. When I fell, I got up. Ki Eshev Bachoshech, when I sit in the darkness, Hashem Orli, Hashem is a light for me. Amru Chazal, Il Malay Nafalti, if I wouldn't have fallen, Lo Kamti, I wouldn't have gotten up either. Had I not been in the dark, lohaya orli, I wouldn't have had the light either. So Purim is one of those flash moments where we start thinking back and saying, you know what, there is no good, bad. It's not, you know, like the Greek gods, there was a god of the sun, god of the moon. Everything was divided. Everything is like, this is this, and there's no, you know, it depends. And the whole idea of the religion is to try to bribe the good one enough that you're going to get from the good god enough from the bad god, right? So, and that's a little bit, in this world, we see that there's bad and there's good. But when we come to Mashiach, what's going to happen? Bayom Oiyah, Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Bayom Ahu, Yi Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad, we'll see oneness of Hashem. What does it mean, oneness of Hashem? Oneness of Hashem does not just mean Hashem is one and there's no two gods. It's obvious. But Hashem is one means there's only one thing that Hashem blesses, bestows on people, which is good. Everything's echad, everything's good. Just we don't always see it. You don't see it in this world that way. But everything's good. And bayom ahu, yi Hashem echad, Hashem will be one. Ushmo echad, but he will call him one. Today we say Hashem echad, but we don't say shmo echad. He is one, we believe it, but we don't call him one because we don't see it. But in the next world, we'll call him Hashem Yishmo Echad. We'll call him one because he will be one. Everything we'll see is going to be just coming from the good side of Hashem. Kaviyachon, not going to see any bad. So the idea that the Purim is going to last Lasid Lavo is because Purim is that tool which allows us to see a certain thing that we're going to need in Mashiach time also. We're going to understand in Mashiach time everything that Purim taught us. And we're going to understand it and say, you know what? Yeah, we see Hashem does miracles. But we have to remember one thing, that even when Hashem is not doing miracles, it's still for the good. That's we're going to be living that way. And that's what the point of Purim is, to get a glimpse of that. To come in and get a glimpse now of putting aside your, you know, sometimes putting ourselves to the side and stepping up and saying Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad, and this is the idea. Now, what stood in the way? What's always the?
This is a little complicated. I mean, the way you're defining it, but if you're saying that Borei Olam is going to be only good, then where will the justice stand in a case like that? How do you? Okay, he's very chesed, a lot, great, good, but there is no justice. What
do
you say?
No, maybe it's the opposite, but maybe people will understand that the justice is for their good too.
Yeah, There's no just as good. No, no way.
No. That's the point. No, that's the point. We'll understand how everything is really for the benefit. A child doesn't know. Does a parent can understand that when they're punishing a child, it's for the child's good, right?
Yeah, but you're talking discipline. Discipline is not justice. Justice is not discipline. Discipline is somebody you're trying to.
Right. So what do you think? What do you think justice is?
It's improper.
No, we're not punishing people just because for the purpose of what's it called? Knas. What's it called? Punitive. It's not punitive. That's not the point. The point is it's to teach us. It is. It's exactly that.
It's not necessarily to teach that person. Right?
No, probably
it's
is.
To teach society at large.
It's probably whatever it is. There's a process that everything is getting us, and we'll see it right away. We'll understand right away how everything is part of the ultimate process. We don't have to wait and have questions and have faith. We'll see it right away. That's the point.
But isn't in any of these situations that we have the opportunity to choose, even when it comes to Purim itself, it was what they actually did with it. They had to make ishtadlut, they had to fast, they had to bring themselves through. It was all good, but if they didn't put the proper effort forward, it wouldn't have been good.
Right, but the tools were there for it to turn around.
The tools were good, but they actually had to act, they had to take some action. They couldn't sit back and say, it's going to be good,
right?
Because they would have been wiped out.
But part of that was because what they needed was practice, and they needed the prayer was exactly what they needed.
So it really wasn't good, it was an opportunity for good.
Well,
the opportunity was there that it could become good,
right?
But the opportunity,
but the intention was for it to be that way.
For the proper effort, it would have been a disaster,
right? But that means that what happened that looked bad was really Hashem's way of saying, this is an opportunity. So make the best of it.
So
we saw not as something bad that we got out of, but rather as an opportunity to grow from it. And we saw how that turned into the gula ultimately.
Well, if that's the way it is, then and we're supposed to be everything like that, then how come it says that you should see both of them the same way and that you should drink if you're always supposed to think that way?
You're supposed to think that way, but no, we don't always get to have the opportunity to do it that way. So on Purim is when we concentrate on that. Purim is a special time that we're going to say, on Purim we're going to understand it. We don't really understand it all the year. But on Purim we're going to try to make sure we understand it. That's the point. That Purim, we have to understand that really everything is that way. Everything is really ultimately part of Hashem's process of getting us to be a better people. This is the process.
And we get dressed up for the same reason, right? So what things that look appear bad are actually not what they appear.
Things are not the way they appear in general, right? Things appear one way, and they're not really that way necessarily.
What happens when somebody at that particular point was jealous, or somebody was poor, or somebody was rich, or somebody had pain, or somebody? What's going to happen to the world after the Jews as a whole and to the world as a whole?
I mean, how will people understand their challenges?
Yes, that's one way of putting it, and learning from the.
Yes, I think that's what the Chazal are saying. Is that the Gemara says that la'asid lavo, when something which is a challenge happens to a person, he's going to say Baruch Hatov Ameitiv. He's going to say that Hashem, this is an opportunity for me. This is right. That's the bracha that a person should say. But you're saying you're not sure people will.
I think
apparently it's going to be so clear. That there's not going to be any way to misunderstand it.
In Mount Sinai, it was clear that Hashem was talking to them, and yet look what they did afterwards.
Well, okay, so you want to know if people can mess up when Mashiach comes? that's a whole topic. The Ramban says that there's not going to be any opportunity for sin when Mashiach comes. The Rambam argues, and he says, if there's no opportunity for sin, then what's the point of existence? So the Ramban says, well, the point of existence is because we're already at the climax. This is a whole lecture by itself. Exactly, when Mashiach comes, but ultimately, we'll wait and see who's right, the Rambam or the Ramban. It's not going to help us now to fight over it. That's for sure. But as a matter of fact, on that Rambam. On this Rambam, if you look, now that you mention it, if you look on this Rambam that I quoted, the Rambam, the Ravid, Sagata Ravid, which is in the corner here, in this little corner, this box. So the Ravid very often has glosses on the Rambam. So he says, "Lo yibatel davar mikol asfarim she'ein safer she'ein bolim." No, nothing's going to become null and void. Nothing will become null and void. So the Rambam says everything's going to become null and void, and the Ravid says nothing will become null and void. So the Magen Mishnah says, "Limosa Mashiach ha'emes yiras darko." When Mashiach comes, we'll see who's right, the Rambam or the Ravid. You know, it's not going to make a difference. But the one thing everyone agrees that is that the Megillas Esther, which tells us this limud, that we're supposed to be straight now. Just one last one point. Should we take a break? Okay, I'll take one more point on this. Is that when there is one nation that their focus and goal in this world is exactly to cover up this point. Amalek. Amalek's goal in the world is to show that Hashem doesn't really control the world. Is that Hashem is just, you know, he's not around, he's not involved. And everything is only mikre. It says in the pasuk when Amalek comes, Asher karcha baderech. They karcha, the word they use, how do they attack you? With karcha. Kuf reishcha. Haphazardly. Yeah. Kar. Mikre. It's just a coincidence. You guys are too busy with God and control and Ashkacha Pratis. Calm down. And everything's just coincidence. And the job of a Malik in this world is to cool everyone else off. Don't think that everything is exactly what you think it is. So it was exactly Haman, who comes from a Malik, was the one. He was upset at the Jews. And he represents this force in the world to get rid of anybody noticing the hand of Hashem. So it's exactly appropriate that through the defeat of Haman is when we got a stronger understanding that not only does Hashem control the world and redeem us and do good things for us, but as a matter of fact, even the things which looked like they were challenges were really just part of the process of the Geula. So it's exactly very appropriate that it's through the defeat of Haman, who represents the Amalek, which is the power to deny the existence of God. And not only did we now realize, no, Hashem can beat Amalek, but it gives a strong understanding that everything that happens in the world is through Kadosh Baruch Hu happening it. And this I've said before, but this is symbol in the Megillah itself. It's unbelievable. We'll stop with this. But he says it's amazing that Haman comes, and after the whole story that Haman is led, Haman has to lead Mordechai through the street, right? And Haman's, you know, he comes back to his wife, Avil v'chafui rosh, he comes back after that story. What does he say? He says, Vayisaper Haman l'zeresh ishto. You know what I'm going to say? Vayisaper Haman l'zeresh ishto, ulechol o'avav, eis kol asher karahu. Everything that happened, but he uses the word karahu. The Malbim says he uses the Amalek word. Eis kol asher karahu. Yeah, it happened. It's weird. It's weird that I went in to go hang Mordechai to the king, and instead of hanging Mordechai, now I end up having to lead Mordechai through the street. It's a pretty weird set of circumstances. So one would say, this is obviously Yad Hashem. This is hand of God saying, keep away from Mordechai. What does Haman come? He comes and tells his wife, no, Eitz Kosher Karo, I just had a weird, haphazard mikra. Something happened to me. Just a funny thing. What happened? I went. So she says, oh, you're still thinking like an Amaleki over here. This message didn't. So what happens? You're still a Karo. You're still a mikra guy. You're a Amalek. In Mizera Yehudim, but he's a Jew. So Asha, if this happened and he's a Jewish guy, You're gonna. This is just the beginning of your fall. Lo tuchalo, you lost total control. You will surely die. You will surely lose. Why? Because you're not convinced that you're on the way down because you think it's just a coincidence. But we realize it's the hand of Hashem. If it's the hand of Hashem, then obviously this is the beginning of the end. And therefore, she
was the instigator.
She was an instigator, but at the end of the day, apparently. Yeah, and also the Maral says this, Vayomu lo chachamav v'zeresh ishto. The Chachamim said it. When he said it, he says, Vayisaper haman l'zeresh ishto u'lechol avav. He said it to Zeresh, and then it's to Avim. But when they responded, it says, Vayomu lo chachamav first, and then Zeresh ishto. So she wasn't the first one. She let the Chachamim talk, but they picked up on that. The Amal, you Haman, you're still looking at this whole thing like a coincidence, but we see it as this is the beginning of the process because we realize that this is the Yad Hashem. So even they saw it, and that's why when Mashiach comes, we're going to celebrate the full defeat of Amalek because the pasuk says. In Amalek says, Ki yad al kes ka. That nowadays, while Amalek is still around, the shame of Hashem is Yud and He, Ka. Lasid Lavo, when we get rid of Amalek, it will be Yud K, but we'll add on the full name, Vav He also. So it will be the full name of Hashem. Amalek is blocking that. They're blocking it in the middle. You only see half. You don't see the other half. So we see half the picture. We don't see the other half of the picture. When we get rid of Amalek and Mashiach comes, now all of a sudden things will glow and things will shine. We'll be able to see the full picture. We'll see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shining up the whole world and everything is always for the good. So I think if you have to take out one point, it seems like a little bit of an esoteric concept. You know, the Purim will last when Mashiach comes. But there's a very, very practical, down-to-earth point of it. The point is that the Purim is a little bit of a taste of Mashiach. It's a little bit of a taste of getting a full picture into things. So it's a little bit of a taste of an experience when Amalek is out of the picture and all that stuff that's blocking our vision the whole year is out of the picture. And we can taste for the very first time, once a year at least, we can taste a little bit of Mashiach saying, wow, this is the full picture. This is, everything is good. Everything is Hashem looking out for us. Everything is when Hashem never leaves us out to dry out to ourselves. And that's really what we keep in mind over the days of Purim, is that we're entering into, we have the opportunity to see the world in a whole different light on Purim than we do the rest of the year. And to concentrate and realize that Hashem is really with us throughout what's the challenges, throughout what seems to be problems, and really all of it is not just bad, it leads to good, it's really good the whole time.
What? Nothing's haphazard.
Nothing's haphazard. Everything's from Hashem. And even the things which look like challenges are really there to get us and catapult us to higher levels. And in Yitz Hashem, we should be able to appreciate and realize it.
On a good note, this is the first time even the Chinese are going to be wearing masks for Purim.